The reason for which it is necessary for the soul, in order to attain to divine union with God, to pass through this dark night of mortification of the desires and denial of pleasures in all things, is because all the affections which it has for creatures are pure darkness in the eyes of God. And when the soul is clothed in these affections, it has no capacity for being enlightened and possessed by the pure and simple light of God. If it first cast them not from it, for light cannot agree with darkness, since, as St. John says, tenebrae eum non comprehendrium, that is, the darkness could not receive the light. The reason is that two contraries, even as philosophy teaches us, cannot coexist in one person, and that darkness which is affection set upon the creatures and light which is God are contrary to each other and have no likeness or accord between one another. Even as St. Paul taught the Corinthians, saying, Quo convitio luci ad tenebra, that is to say, what communion can there be between light and darkness? Hence it is that the light of divine union cannot dwell in the soul if these affections first flee not away from it. In order that we may be better prove what has been said, it must be known that the affection and attachment which the soul has for creatures renders the soul like to these creatures, and the greater is its affection, the closer is the equality and likeness between them. For love creates a likeness between that which loves and that which is loved. For which reason David, speaking of those who set their affections upon idols, said thus, Similis ilius fiant quae faciunt eo, et omnis quae confidunt en eis, which signifies, Let them that set their heart upon them be like to them. And thus, he that loves a creature becomes as low as that creature, and in some ways lower. For love not only makes the lover equal to the object of his love, but even subjects him to it. Hence, in the same way, it comes to pass that the soul that loves anything else becomes incapable of pure union with God and transformation in him. For the lowest state of the creatures is much less capable of union with the highest state of the Creator than is darkness with light. For all things of earth and heaven, compared with God, are nothing, as Jeremiah says in these words, Aspexi terram et ecce vacua erat et nili et coleos et non erat lux in es. I beheld the earth, he says, and it was void, and it was nothing, and the heavens, and saw that they had no light. In saying that he beheld the earth void, he means that all its creatures were nothing, and that the earth was nothing likewise. And in saying that he beheld the heavens and saw no light in them, he says that all the luminaries of heaven, compared with God, are pure darkness, so that in this way all the creatures are nothing, and their affections, we may say, are less than nothing, since they are an impediment to transformation in God and the privation thereof. Even as darkness is not only nothing, but less than nothing, since it is privation of light. And even as he that is in darkness comprehends not the light, so the soul that sets its affection upon creatures will be unable to comprehend God. And until it be purged, it will neither be able to possess him here below through pure transformation of love, nor yonder in clear vision. And for greater clarity, we will now speak in greater detail. All the being of creation, then, compared with the infinite being of God, is nothing. And therefore, the soul that sets its affection upon the being of creation is likewise nothing in the eyes of God, and less than nothing. For as we have said, love makes equality and similitude, and even sets the lover below the object of his love. And therefore, such a soul will in no wise be able to attain to union with the infinite being of God, for that which is not can have no communion with that which is. And coming down in detail to some examples, all the beauty of the creatures compared with the infinite beauty of God is the height of deformity. Even as Solomon says in the Proverbs, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And thus the soul that is affectioned to the beauty of any creature is the height of deformity in the eyes of God. And therefore, this soul that is deformed will be unable to become transformed in beauty, which is God, since deformity cannot attain to beauty. And all the grace and beauty of the creatures, compared with the grace of God, is the height of misery and of uncomeliness. Wherefore the soul that is ravished by the graces and beauties of the creatures has only supreme misery and unattractiveness in the eyes of God, and thus it cannot be capable of the infinite grace and loveliness of God. For that which has no grace is far removed from that which is infinitely gracious. And all the goodness of the creatures of the world, in comparison with the infinite goodness of God, may be described as wickedness. For there is not good save only God. And therefore the soul that sets its heart upon the good things of the world is supremely evil in the eyes of God. And even as wickedness comprehends not goodness, even so, such a soul cannot be united with God, who is supreme goodness. All the wisdom of the world and all human ability, compared with the infinite wisdom of God, are pure and supreme ignorance. Even as Saint Paul writes, "The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Wherefore, any soul that makes account of all its knowledge and ability in order to come to union with the wisdom of God is supremely ignorant in the eyes of God, and will remain far removed from that wisdom. For ignorance knows not what wisdom is. Even as Saint Paul says that this wisdom seems foolishness to God, since in the eyes of God, those who consider themselves to be persons with a certain amount of knowledge are very ignorant, so that the apostle, writing to the Romans, professing them to be wise, they became foolish, and those alone acquire wisdom of God, who are like ignorant children, and are laying aside their knowledge, walk in his service with love. This manner of wisdom Saint Paul taught likewise to the Corinthians. If any man among you seem to be wise, let him become ignorant, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, so that, in order to come to union with the wisdom of God, the soul has to proceed rather by unknowing than by knowing. And all the dominion and the liberty of the world compared with the liberty and the dominion of the Spirit of God is the most abject slavery, affliction, and captivity. Wherefore the soul that is enamored of prelacy or of any other such office and longs for liberty of desire is considered and treated in the sight of God, not as a son, but as a base slave and captive, since it has not been willing to accept his holy doctrine, wherein he teaches us that whoso would be greater must be less, and whoso would be less must be greater. And therefore such a soul will be unable to attain to that true liberty of spirit which is attained in his divine union. For slavery can have no part with liberty, and liberty cannot dwell in a heart that is subject to desires. For this is the heart of a slave, but it dwells in the free man, because he has the heart of a son. It was for this cause that Sarah bade her husband Abraham cast out the bondwoman and her son, saying that the son of the bondwoman should not be heir with the son of the free woman. And all the delights and the pleasures of the will in all the things of the world, in comparison with all those delights which are God, are supreme affliction, torment, and bitterness. And thus he that sets his heart upon them is considered in the sight of God as worthy of supreme affliction, torment, and bitterness. And thus he will be unable to attain to the delights of the embrace of the union with God, since he is worthy of affliction and bitterness. All the wealth and glory of all creation, in comparison with the wealth which is God, is supreme poverty and wretchedness. Thus the soul that loves and possesses creatures' wealth is supremely poor and wretched in the sight of God, and for that reason will be unable to attain to that wealth and glory which is the state of transformation in God. For that which is miserable and poor is supremely far removed from that which is supremely rich and glorious. And therefore, divine wisdom, grieving for such as these, who make themselves vile, low, miserable, and poor, because they love the things in this world, which seem to them so rich and beautiful, addresses an exclamation to them in the proverb, saying, O ye men, to you I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Attend, little ones, to sublety and sagacity. Yet that are foolish, take notice. Hear, for I have to speak of great things. With me are riches and glory, high riches and justice. Better is the fruit that you will find in me than gold and precious stones. And my generation, namely, that which you will engender of me in your souls, is better than choice silver. I walk in the ways of justice, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may enrich those that love me, and fill their treasures perfectly. Herein divine wisdom speaks to all those that set their hearts and affections upon anything of the world, according as we have already said, and she calls them little ones, because they make themselves like to that which they love, which is little. And therefore she tells them to be subtle, and to take note that she is treating of great things, and not of things that are little like themselves. That the great riches and the glory that they love are with her and in her, and not where they think, and that high riches and justice dwell in her. For although they think the things of this world to be all this, she tells them to take note that her things are better, saying that the fruit that they will find in them will be better for them than gold and precious stones, and that which she engenders in souls is better than the choice silver which they love, by which is understood any kind of affection that can be possessed in this life. Chapter 5, wherein the aforementioned subject is treated and continued, and it is shown by passages and figures from Holy Scripture how necessary it is for the soul to journey to God through this dark night of the mortification of desires in all things. From what has been said, it may be seen in some measure how great a distance there is between all that the creatures are in themselves and that which God is in himself, and how souls that set their affections upon any of these creatures are at as great a distance as they are from God. For as we have said, love produces equality and likeness. This distance was clearly realized by Saint Augustine, who said in the Soliloquies, speaking with God, "Miserable man that I am, when will my littleness and imperfection be able to have fellowship with thy righteousness? Thou indeed art good, and I am evil. Thou art merciful, and I am impious. Thou art holy, and I am miserable. Thou art just, and I am unjust. Thou art light, and I am blind. Thou art life, and I death. Thou medicine, I sick. Thou supreme truth, and I utter vanity." All this is said by this saint. Wherefore it is supreme ignorance for the soul to think that it will be able to pass to this highest state of union with God, if first it void not the desire of all things, natural and supernatural, which may hinder it, according as we shall explain hereafter. For there is the greatest possible distance between these things and that which comes to pass in this estate, which is not else than transformation in God. For this reason our Lord, when showing us this path, said through Saint Luke, "He that renounces not all things that he possesses with his will cannot be my disciple." And this is evident, for the doctrine that the Son of God came to teach was contempt for all things, whereby a man might receive as a reward the Spirit of God in himself. For as long as the soul rejects not all things, it has no capacity to receive the Spirit of God in pure transformation. Of this we have a figure in Exodus, wherein we read that God gave not the children of Israel the food from heaven, which was manna, until the flour which they had brought from Egypt failed them. By this is signified that first of all it is meant to renounce all things, for this angel's food is not fitting for the palate that would find delight in the food of men. Not only does the soul become incapable of receiving the divine spirit when it stays and pastures on other strange pleasures, but those souls greatly offend the Divine Majesty who desire spiritual food and are not content with God alone, but desire rather to intermingle desire and affection for other things. This can likewise be seen in the same book of Holy Scripture, wherein it is said that not content with that simplest of food, they desired and craved fleshly food, and that our Lord was greatly worth that they should desire to intermingle a food that was so base and so coarse with one that was so noble and so simple, which, though it was so, had within itself the sweetness and substance of all foods. Wherefore, while they yet had the morsels in their mouths, as David says likewise, the wrath of God came down upon them, sending fire from heaven and consuming many thousands of them. For God held it an unworthy thing that they should have a desire for other food when he had given them the food from heaven.